weren't focused on themselves. They weren't focused on their circumstances. They weren't focused on what difficulties they may be facing. And certainly the early church in Jerusalem faced difficulties. They faced persecution. They didn't focus on that. They focused on praising God, singleness of heart. They had a sincerity of heart, a singleness of heart that just desired to worship God. And as I think about worshiping God, you can't help but think of John chapter 4. When Christ met the woman at the well, and they had their discussion, and in verse 19 of John 4, it says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." He was in Samaria, and the Samaritans worshipped in Mount Gerizim, and that's what they believed they were to worship. In Mount Gerizim. So our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and that mountain was right there. She probably pointed to it when she was speaking to Jesus. Here in this mountain, Mount Gerizim, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus was a Jew. The Jewish people worshipped in Jerusalem, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worshipped in Mount Gerizim in Samaria. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Notice there's two subjects there. Where to worship and who to worship. And he says, you don't know who you worship. We Jews know who we worship. You Samaritans worship in Mount Gerizim. We worship in Jerusalem. But he says the time's coming when it's not going to be Mount Gerizim. It's not going to be Jerusalem. It's not going to be either one. And then he says, you don't know what you worship. We do. And then he says, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we know that verse, you know, God is spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the question is, well, what does that mean? Spirit and in truth. But in the context here, it kind of defines it for us. We worship in spirit. We don't worship in Mount Gerizim. We don't worship in Jerusalem. The place, the location, the physical aspect of it doesn't matter. It's spirit. Not about where I am physically, it's about where I am spiritually. Do I have a spiritual relationship with God? And I need to worship him in spirit. It doesn't matter the location. The physical isn't important. Whether it's the physical location, whether it's a physical position, you know, do I have to kneel? Do I have to fall prostrate on my face? Do I have to stand up? Well, certainly all of those positions are mentioned in Scripture. But that's not what's important. It's not a physical position. It's not a physical location. It's my spiritual relationship with God. We have to worship in spirit because he is spirit. And then he says that we need to worship in truth. He just got finished saying to the woman at the well, you don't know what you worship. You don't know who you worship. We Jews do. We worship Yahweh, the great I Am. But you Samaritans, you're confused. You know, there's a lot of people today who say they believe in God, but they really don't know the God they believe in. I mean, that God is kind of fuzzy to them. They really don't know who they, you know, they may even go to church and they may worship their God, but their God is not real clear in their mind who he is or what he's like. You know, one day he's a loving God, and the next day he's a mean God and a judgmental God, and they're very confused about the God they worship. As believers, we need to worship in truth. We know the God we worship because he's revealed himself in his word. And so we come to worshiping God. We need to worship him based upon his word, how he has revealed himself to us. As we know who he is, as we know what he is like, and the more we know him, the more we love him. And so we worship in truth. And there's not that confusion that is in the minds of many people today. They really don't know the God they're worshiping. They're very confused about it. And there's so much more we could say about that, obviously. But when we think about the church was a worshiping church, that's where we need to kind of focus our attention. Do we truly worship in spirit and in truth? You know, sometimes people get the idea they have to come to this sanctuary to worship. Well, we come together as a church, and when the church is here, that's people, it is a sanctuary. It's where we meet with God. But when the church, people aren't here, this is just a room. This is just an auditorium. It's not a sanctuary when you're not here. But we do come together to worship here. But certainly we can worship in our own homes. We can worship in our cars. We can worship at our place of employment. We can worship anywhere because it's in spirit that we worship. But we need to worship in truth based upon God's word. We need to know the God we're worshiping. And we know the God we're worshiping because he's revealed himself in his word, and we need to study that word to know him more. We need to be a worshiping church. In Acts chapter 2, it says they found having favor with all the people. They were an attractive church. And I think as you read down through this context, what made the church attractive? Well, they were, as we've already said, they were a joyful church. They were a loving church. Christ himself made the statement that they shall know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. A church that is loving one another is going to be attractive to the world. A church that is joyful is going to be attractive to the world because the world is lacking in love. The world is lacking in joy. And when people see that, it's something they want. And so they saw that in the church in Jerusalem. They saw the love. They saw the joy. They saw the unity. And they were attracted to it. One of the things we can discuss tonight later on is what makes a church unattractive. And we can consider that subject this evening. And then finally it says that they were, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were a growing church. That's an interesting subject to talk about in the midst of a pandemic. I don't know if you've done any reading. There's been various predictions based upon statistics and based upon surveys and so forth and so on that perhaps as many as 1 in 5 churches will close their doors because of the pandemic. It's hitting churches very hard in many areas, in the sense that churches have had to shut down and people are not coming, and then when the churches open up, people still don't come. And so it's causing a lot of hardships for many churches. Most churches that have opened back up are running at about 50% of their normal attendance. That's kind of the average across the nation. Obviously, some are more, some are less. But they're running at about 50%. As a church, we are probably somewhere around 50 or 60% of our regular attendance before COVID hit. And I'm not saying in judgment of those who aren't currently coming because of pandemic. It's understandable. We understand. We're not passing any judgment. But it's a matter of prayer for all of us that as we get through this, that people don't get out of the habit of coming, because that can happen. You know, there's some of our folks have not been here now for going on 8 months, and it's easy to get out of the habit. And again, I'm not passing judgment on anyone that's not been coming because of COVID and some of the concerns and some of the people who have compromised health already, and so I understand it completely. But we need to be praying that as we get through this, that people don't get out of the habit and they realize the importance of being here. So we just need to work through this, and we need to pray through this, that God would indeed restore the church to that full body of Christ that we've enjoyed in the past. So just some thoughts, and we'll go to prayer at this time, and then we'll come back for a time of discussion once we go offline. So at this time, we will go to prayer, and those who have been asked to pray, just come on up, and we'll go from there.